Guardians of the Geekery, episode 241, Music Week. That's right. And we've got a couple completely different types of music, so a little bit of something for everybody. First up is our review, listening and review, thanks to Bandcamp of Curtis Eller's How to Make It in Hollywood. And then we turn our attention to the Misbehavin' Maidens and their album Sloppy Seconds. So check it out and let us know what you think.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
So that was Old Time Religion from Curtis Eller's American Circus. Curtis Eller's American Circus. How to Make It in Hollywood. And Carol.
Yes.
This was one of your choices.
It was. I actually saw this band perform at the North Carolina Museum of Art. They were the opening act for Puppet Hand Puppet Theater, or Puppet Hand Intervention, which is a puppet theater. So they sang before the puppet show. And I actually really liked them. I truly enjoyed them. I actually bought the CD on my way out and said, you know, we should probably listen to this and review it on the show.
Yeah.
So. Incidentally, if you ever get a chance to see Puppet Hand Theater, Puppet Hand Intervention, do it, because it's awesome.
Yeah, what's it about?
It's it's a puppet group. They do full body puppets, and the show that we saw was In the Heart of Fire, which dealt with basically a lot of fire myths. Prometheus and Grandmother Spider, and just a lot of different myths from different parts of the world, and lots of really beautiful puppets.
But Curtis Eller was
the opening act.
Yeah, so it's a very, you know, it's very much that banjo kind of Americana kind of sound. Yeah. When I was listening to it, reminded me a little bit of Mungo Jerry, and in the summertime, yeah, da, 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 that sound between the organ and the banjo.
Yeah. Now I will say, when they performed live, they did not have the organ; they had a saxophonist, and I think I actually preferred it with the saxophone.
Oh, but that's what they had. And then I would like to say that the backup singers reminded me a little bit of the two ladies from B-52s. that kind of bolder, brasher harmony.
I was kind of waiting for you ladies to come in when they started singing the background. I was like, okay, now we just need Joey, Carol, Tiffany, here we go.
Yeah, not happening.
No. That's crazy. I do like the warning label on here. This album contains no guitars. Yeah. That's cool. It reminded me a tiny bit of half of Frenching the Punk.
Yeah.
Let that sound, which I dig.
It's got that quirky sound to it. So.
Yeah. And they're a quirky band. They're all vegetarians, which they were very vocal about.
Okay.
And his daughter actually was on stage for a couple of the song. She's a gymnast, so she was just bouncing and flipping all over the place. But she's only late. She's only like 11, but she was one of the songs on the album, the Saving My Heart for the Butcher Man.
Yeah.
Is about actually Upton Sinclair's novel about the Chicago meat district. So
oh boy.
If you listen very carefully to the words, it's intelligent, but it's very old timey.
Should
sound.
We listen to a little of that?
You can if you want.
All right, let's do that. Hey. This is that Mungo Jerry sound.
Yeah. I'm going down to the butcher man. Watch my heart in the blood of the lamb. I take a number at the counter and touch the hem of his apron and she's hand.
I can see where you draw that comparison. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely like part of that. And I enjoyed it. I really did. And now, full disclosure, I did not listen to this one at work. Work was really crazy. So I've listened to it in my car. So different mindset.
Yeah, I've been listening to this one in my car because I bought the CD. It's been in my car since 2 weeks ago. So, yeah.
And how many times have you taken it out and put something else in?
I haven't. And now I have like occasionally turned to my phone and listened to podcasts. But
okay. Tiffles, this sounds like just your type of song.
I know.
Yes. Right. I liked it. I mean, I actually did. It honestly kind of made me, even though it's not that gothic, it kind of made me think of True Blood. A little bit, and maybe the combination
it's the new,
of banjo.
It's the New Orleans. It's yeah. Kind of a New Orleans vibe, although they're a Durham band. They're based out of Durham.
Oh. But their influences could totally be New Orleans.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, as you would predict, it's not really my type of thing, but I kind of felt like I would be really into this if I was like down in Louisiana, like in a small little club. Like, I would, you know, the experience of seeing it live would probably be good, but I did enjoy it more than I expected to. At first, I thought it was a little one note. I'm like, I feel like the song sounds like the last one, but I think it really evolved as the album went along, and I really liked If You're Looking for a Loser. I overall enjoyed it.
We can pull up a little bit of that, If You're Looking for a Loser.
Courthouse, April 1865, the last Confederate holdout to keep a hopeless dream alive. Trade the true heart of Virginia, the grace of Robert E. Lee, to that drunken Union bastard,
it would have been too much for me. So cut to 1965.
You guys have to remember that Radiohead's my favorite band. So yes. Of course I'm going to like the most sort of somber sounding song on the album.
Tom York owned a banjo.
Right.
This is amazing. Would that be? This basically was influenced by Scrubs by TLC, I think. It's that same parallel story, right?
Right.
It's,
you know, 100%.
You're looking for a loser.
There are
don't go chasing waterfalls.
There are a lot of biblical references in the lyrics as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the butcher man talking about putting your hands in the blood of the lamb. Yes. And then, of course, old-time religion's just right there out in your face. But
it doesn't... The lyrics don't necessarily a pretty picture of...
Oh, no. They're not worshipful at all.
No.
It's just, you know, there's a song called
and
Moses.
It does have that, it does have that kind of... gospel feel to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of reading like the, I guess what I used to call the liner notes. I don't know if that even exists anymore. It's all digital. So what the fuck? But it's very kind of like that. He's talking about that mashup of different, what if all these different times could exist at the same moment?
Yeah.
And you'd have like Abraham Lincoln at your barbecue or something. It's like,
they kind of remind me of a band that I just saw not too long ago. Oh. Goddamn Gallows. I don't know if you're familiar with that. If Slayer were a bluegrass band, it would be Goddamn Gallows.
Oh, my gosh.
They've got a song, and, you know, disclaimer, language, y'all motherfuckers need Jesus. And it's amazing. I saw them at the Neighborhood Theater not too long ago. And, with another band called Gallows Bound. It was a gallows theme night, I guess.
They didn't hang anybody, did they?
No, but it's that...
But he was doing research for Shakespeare, Carolina.
Right, because so. I'll hang a motherfucker. but no, there's like a thing in like what you're saying, like the True Blood, and I forget that guy's name that did that song.
I forget, too.
But this like kind of almost like a revival of like that Nick Cave style I call it gothy tonk.
Yeah.
You know, like... Real That's dark, perfect. Spooky Appalachian kind of music, and I like this. I really like this.
Cool.
I wasn't sure what I was.
By the way, folks, this is Chris O'Neill from Shakespeare, Carolina. We kind of forgot
we suck,
to reintroduce him.
That's all right.
Go back, listen to the previous episode about why you should be going down to. Legal Berber.
Yes.
Legal Remedy
Brewery. Mm-hmm. This place that's legal in Rock Hill.
It's a great brewery. I've been.
Yeah,
it's great. Good food.
Yeah, the food's great.
Yeah. So there's two shout-outs for Legal Remedy. That should get you at least a sandwich there, Chris. Yeah. So.
And the show's October 27th, folks. Yes. So, but go listen to episode 240 after this so you can catch up. If you skipped, how dare you? What the fuck? What the Okay. We forget it.
And if you actually want to see Curtis Eller, he's playing Evening Muse. I want to say October 2nd, but check, do a Google search for their website. But he is actually going to be in Charlotte at the Evening Muse.
Very cool.
Excellent.
All right. So which song appealed to you?
You know, I liked Battlefield Amputation.
That was actually...
Go figure, right?
That is an awesome song.
It is.
it ties in with your theme for the...
Yeah.
All right.
Like... That the whole jibe of that song is like, yeah, my God, this is like a Battlefield episode.
Yes.
All right, let's hear a little bit of that. I don't know that it's my favorite, so.
Got bad boots, child of Darwin. Cut me a little slack, no business back. A bitch of butter, this ain't my heart attack. I'm not gonna care, pull some time out of gospel choir with their sweet sound. Just another black heart beating in the street. The brains, they've been hiding in the beat. Hey!
I like the beat. I want to be clear. I like the beat. I like the sound. I wasn't sure I was in love with all the lyrics. little gory for me to drive home and try not to hit anybody. But but that's part you could hear when he was singing the duet with the female vocalist. That's definitely part of one of those times when it really sounded. She reminded me of the redhead from B-52. Sorry, I'm not more specific, but yeah. Be shiny, happy that would people. Be Kate. Kate. That, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm having one of those memory days. So, yeah, so definitely, but I definitely enjoyed that. Now, you had actually mentioned that you loved Buzz Berkeley Funeral, and I was torn on that. What I loved about Busby Berkeley Funeral was the intelligent retro throwback.
Yeah.
There's a lot of allusion to, you know, other things that people may or may not. It made me feel very old because I knew what all those references were.
I mean, I don't know if too many kids today would know who Busby Berkeley actually is.
Exactly.
YouTube Busby
Berkeley. No clue.
Seriously, YouTube Busby Berkeley. Once you see a video, you will know exactly who it is. He's not. He was never in front of the camera. He was a choreographer, basically.
Special style. It's kind of like Fosse. He had a special dance style. Yeah. And
but there is definitely a Busby Berkeley style.
I feel like that name sounds like a character from Bobcat Goldthwait.
You have to. You have to understand
this. It's a Misdemeanors.
1930s and 40s. So it's, I love that song for some reason. I just really liked it.
All right. We're going to listen to just a little bit of that. As well. Don't worry, because I know what's in store when the angels crowd around and cast their shadow on my door. There will be no sorrow when they call the final dance. I don't mind, I made arrangements in advance. I left instructions for my funeral with a camera crew. They'll take me down to MGM. They'll know what to do. Tell these Hollywood angels the time has come to gather round. There'll be no sweeter sound. I want Marlene and Dietrich singing Lily Marlene when they send me down to the front line. And if it's got to rain, I won't. Gene Kelly dancing so I can rise above my fear. Hey, look, the gang's all here. There's Carmel Miranda to wash away my blue. Esther Williams drinking champagne by the swimming pool. Yeah, so it's definitely if you're a fan of those movies.
Those old movies.
Marlene Dietrich and...
Which I am.
Yeah,
so.
Gene Kelly. Yeah. So, I mean, no, I did, but I there was a part of me that's like, man, I'm old.
Seriously, if it gets one person to turn on a Busby Berkeley movie or even, God damn, a Gene Kelly movie, watch Gene Kelly, kids.
Singing in the Rain.
The man was amazing.
In the Rain. He did, like, actually a video about how physical fitness, about how dancers and sports people... You know, athletics really goes hand in hand.
Well, yeah.
And it was amazing because it was like that. Now we go, duh.
Yeah.
But back then it was considered two very different things.
I just remember when he won, I think it was like, what is it? The Kennedy Center Honor? What is the one that the president gives out?
Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Yeah,
the Kennedy Center Honor. Mikhail Baryshnikov was the one that gave him the actual, did the opener. And he said, we hate him because he made it look so easy. And if you watch Gene Kelly dance, he does. He just makes it look really, really easy. And it's like, no, it's not easy.
But if you watch interviews with people like Debbie Reynolds when she was doing Singing in the Rain, I mean, literally, he was such a perfectionist that like her feet were bleeding.
Yes.
Because he did. The only way to make it look easy is to be a master of it. Yeah. And that's to continually do it. So.
And I think that's why I like Chris and Shakespeare Carolina, because they, you know, for the exploding heads, they keep doing it till that fucking, they get the take that they want. Right? But it's all leading up to the live performance.
They line up 20 students, explode every head until one of them looks good.
Yeah. We got 40 of them. Yeah. So we can experiment.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to the
That's right.
So, Starnes Lord, what do you think of this music?
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, I think if you're in the mood for it, it's really awesome. But it's just fun. Yeah, I've been more of a less like tech guy. Like, so like I'm getting out of heavy guitars and stuff like that. When I started my journey, I was Judas Priest and Quiet Riot back in junior high. There's a picture of me in the yearbook wearing the Quiet Riot shirt. But you know, hung over from the next day because.
But out of the miry clay you come
I've
up.
I've come to do bluegrass and bluesy songs and music. So yeah, I like it. Yeah.
You got that old time religion.
You know it.
So were there any particular songs that you cared for? That we haven't played?
No, you've already played. I really liked Battlefield Amputation. I thought that was groovy. And plus, I love song titles. And
that, yeah, he's got some good song titles.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the lyrics, and I was like, oh, this is cool. So,
all right. Yeah. So that was Curtis Eller's American Circus, and that was... he has other albums out on Bandcamp. That was the one that Carol had purchased, and so therefore she didn't want to purchase twice. She made us listen to that one. No, I'm just kidding. So let's go around the table, ask the question I like to ask. Would you buy the album?
This album?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Carol, we know the answer. Did. You already did.
Chris, would you buy it again?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah, I didn't expect you to.
It's really hard for me to buy something.
Tiffle shocks us so much.
She BitTorrents every damn thing. So. No, don't do that.
Please Band don't camp. Put us on a Pirate watch list. Still a thing?
I don't do that, I promise.
All right.
Bandcamp makes it easy to listen and try stuff out. And then when you love it, you click on it. And yeah, the whole discography is up there. So yeah, check it out.
Would you buy it, Joey?
If you're going to buy it, I would listen to it with you.
Okay. Go halvesies?
Yeah. Okay. I mean.
It's the same damn thing, right?
I know. I'm usually the one who ends up buying it anyway, so.
Oh.
Well, no, because I have a quicker trigger finger than you. That's all. I enjoyed it. It wasn't necessarily my favorite because I feel like Battlefield Amputation was the most peppy one, and the lyrics got to me. So again, you know, I was driving home from work and it was a long day, so maybe that would have changed, but that was kind of the way I felt about that one. So but definitely it was definitely, I'm glad that I listened to it, and I could definitely see myself, this is where I could see, I totally want to see them live. I want to have, you know, I want it to be one of those stages where there's a river or something behind them, a lake behind them. I want the little kids playing, you know, running around in their bare feet, and I want a really cold apple cider, hard apple cider.
Oh, I think we're talking about Wendy Hill.
I have to say, awesome. The performance I saw had all of that. Well, it didn't have the river, but it had art in the background because it was at the Museum of Art. But everything except the cold cider or the hot cider.
I could totally see myself sitting in an Adirondack chair with them playing, you know, and just hearing that music. That's what I could see myself listening to it at the lake.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Not like I have a lake to go to, but you know, if I did, I would. So that's my answer to that. All right. So before we start this second one, we just want to point out that we are an explicit rating podcast.
Yeah. And when they say misbehaving maidens.
Hey, I hadn't announced that yet. Listen, what? Step on my words all Sorry. The time.
Easy. Oh, easy, folks.
All right. Stop misbehaving.
I'm not a maiden.
So the next band we're listening to, they have some rather sexually explicit lyrics.
I'll have to excuse myself. I can't.
They call it love positive music, but just know that it's very direct.
Chris, you're going to be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tiffles, do you have your permission slip to be on here for this?
My parents signed it. We're okay.
Okay,
cool. Okay, so the album is Misbehaving Maidens. They're a group out of Silver Spring, Maryland, and they're actually going to be at RavenCon, which will have passed by the time you come to them, but they also perform at other conventions in the area, so you could hear them there. And the album that we're going to be listening to is Sloppy Seconds. And just because I don't want to go too hardcore into...
you don't want to do the ABCs?
Aspirin twixt our legs, is it?
Yeah.
No?
Or okay. Will they or won't they? Is that the time name of the
Misbehaving Maiden? What?
No, the song...
Will they or won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I wanted the other one. What's the other one? The one... It's got safer lyrics.
Because the Will They or Won't They is like...
I think go-kart racing has a really strong message.
Very strong. Yeah. It vibrates with you.
Pumping dry, safety tips.
Play a song, Joey. You're not going to find a clean one.
No, there is one.
How about German Clockwinder? It's a gripping story.
Go. Yeah, let's start with that. We'll start with that.
To Dublin once came. Benjamin Fuchs was the old German's name. And as he was making his way round the Strand, he played on his lute and the music was grand. Singing Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-la-ye. Tor-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye. Singing Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-la-ye. Tor-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye. There was a young lady in Grosvenor Square who said that her clock was in need of repair. In walked the German, and to her delight, in less than 5 minutes, he had her clock right. Singing Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-la-ye. Tor-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye. Singing Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-ma-lama, Tor-a-la-ye. Tor-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye, or-a-la-ye.
So, yeah, before it gets any dirty. No. So that was a safe song that you could play.
Kind of.
That was the one.
That was the most subtle.
Yeah. What I love about that song is the fact that you really get to see their musical skill in this song. Because I think the other songs, you focus more on the words and the fact that they're nerdy and dirty, as they like to say. But this one really focuses on the fact that they have some great vocal skills. And I don't want to... discount that over the fact that their subject matter is love positive and sexually explicit. So Chris, when you started listening to this, what did you think?
Not a fan. I'm kind of...
You can speak freely here. You're in a safe space.
I was never a fan. I'm never a fan of the cutesy girls and ukulele stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that was what I got from that. You know, and I'm also not a huge fan of kind of over the Ren Faire stuff. And it seems like that was just like a huge amalgamation of all of that.
That's my problem. I'm in a unique position because for 15 years of my life, I was immersed completely in Renaissance Festival because I worked there all year. And to me, this was the minute it started, it was like, oh, God, there it is again. it's like, oh, it's back. Mm-hmm. Ren Faire. It did hamper my enjoyment of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's good Ren. It's good Ren Faire music.
This is totally like you are, it's nighttime at a convention. And
that's what you're listening
to. And that's what you're listening to. But I don't know that I would listen to it regularly in my car because it's not.
Definitely not during a drive-through or with your mom in the car.
Yes.
Don't understand.
Not gonna happen. But I do. Like I said, I enjoy their vocal stylings. I think that they have a good blend, and I think that that's hard to achieve. But the songs are definitely a little bit more of a naughty nature, and I definitely smiled when I listened to them. But I don't know that I would want to listen to it on repeat for 2 weeks straight.
I have to say, I don't mind the love positive. It's kind of nice to have a naughty girls girls singing about sex stuff, but it was kind of like song after song after song after song after song after song after song. It's like,
yeah,
could I just get a ballad?
Yeah, which is why I was searching so hard. Now the other one that's a little bit more family friendly is 1996.
Yeah, and that's probably my favorite on the album,
so let's listen to a little bit of that.
watch it all. One grush kit a day. Got high on model spray. Mech posters on his door. Couldn't even see the floor. Never went to Japan. What happened to his plan? He was gonna be an idol. He was gonna be a star. Gonna get a replica of Nicky Bassara's guitar. His desk job 8 to 3 is now the enemy. No more D&D nights. And nothing has been alright
since Akira Gokudo. Way before Naruto, there was Von Zescaflone and Sailor Moon on USA. The newbies in high school, they tell us that we're uncool, cause we've had our Asian fix since 1996.
So more of a parody, you know, rewording of lyrics, etc. Yeah. But again, it's more based on anime and that fandom as opposed to the sexually positive stuff, which, again, I'm okay with it. I just, it's there's a time and a place for that. So
I'm curious how their, I saw that they their first album, Busted, was a cappella completely and focused on like she shanties.
From
a female perspective.
Oh, she shanties.
She shanties. Yeah, I like that.
It is talk like a pirate day. When we're recording this.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to listen to that and see how that is compared to this. I find it refreshing women talking about sex, because it's like, for some reason, guys can talk about it, you know, or they used to be able to. And then it's like, women, you can't talk about sex. And it's like, why not?
And I didn't mind that. And I actually find a lot of their lyrics witty.
Yes.
It was just kind of like, it's every song.
Yeah.
Damn. Have you been tested for nymphomania?
There's a test for that? Or
it was just, and I know that's the nature of this particular album, because it is Sloppy Seconds.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. So was there a song on there that you liked, Tiffles?
If I had to pick, I would say Pump Away.
Okay, let's listen to a little of that.
And now, on with the countdown.
And favors one. I gave him favors one. I gave him favors 1. It turned out to be quite fun. Put your shoulder next to mine and pump away, pump away. Put your shoulder next to mine and pump away. Well, I gave him favors 2. Well, I gave him favors 2. Well, I gave him favors 2, cause his balls were turning blue. Put your shoulder next to mine and pump away, pump away. Put your shoulder next to mine and pump away. Well, I gave him favors 3. Well, I gave him favors 3.
And you get the gist of it.
She's a generous lover.
So what was your opinion of it, Tiffles?
Hated it. Jesus. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I miss Foot Pound Force. Like,
oh my God.
Fuck yes.
I'm like, belligerently, like, shitty quality. Belligerent and shitty quality, or this. I'm not sure. This makes me want to, like, kill myself. Just, like,
how about honest but kind?
I agree with Carol. I think that there's some of their lyrics are witty. And, I mean, they can be kind of fun, but to Carol's point, being serious, it's the same thing, song after song.
And I'm not a prude. I'm really not a prude.
No, it's not the, like, subject matter at all. Yeah. It's just the
pacing of the album. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I could take, and I did actually buy a couple of songs, and it's like, if I could put a couple of songs in rotation, then it would be like, oh, okay, this is out of the blue. This is nice. But it was just kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are bands out there that it's like, and we talked about, you know, The Murder of Jane Crow, and then she was like, trust us, the EP is not the same. You know, their album is not the same as the EP, because the EP were 3 songs that were rather dour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was like, I have to have at least 1 or 2 upbeat songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
I feel like this is the type of, like, almost each of those songs are like the song at the end, the fun song at the end of, like, a serious album with, like, lots of instruments and different subject matters and stuff. Like, this Or this feels like a lot for it to be just one album of all just all these type of songs.
And it sounds like the song at the end of their act at a Ren Faire,
right?
5:30 act. Yeah. That's, you know, not family friendly.
Mm-hmm. So. I didn't think about the Renaissance Fair, but I thought that was right on. That
yeah,
you,
it, yeah, I did. Yeah, that was the first thing I thought. Was like,
I actually thought they were Ren Faire until I realized that they were con.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. they do cons. I think they actually do the Maryland Fair though.
They may have started there. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
But obviously they can't do these songs at the Maryland Fair,
right?
Unless they do have a you know, like the Tortuga Twins, a late afternoon act that no one wants to take their kids to.
Which is why we run there.
Yes,
no children. So Starnslord, was there a particular song that you cared for?
Aspirin twixt our knees was. Some good advice.
Okay, let's listen to that. Well, thank you, Mitch McConnell. With that orange hatch, yes, I can't remember.
She said, if you do just one thing, you surely won't be damned. Well, then I asked, what is it? And she answered so demure. Just keep your knees together, love, and always you'll be pure. We were taught to keep an aspirin twixt our knees, to keep us out of trouble so our mothers would be pleased. But then I learned a secret, a trick that I will share. My fingers, they still fit between, no need for an affair. When she said be pure, I asked her.
I told you this was explicit.
It gets more so.
You missed
the best one. But anyway.
I know.
Buy the album and you can, or listen on Bandcamp. And
just listen to the ABCs because I ain't going to tell you what A stands for.
Yeah, it just starts off right away.
We're an explicit podcast. We can say stuff like that.
It's just, yeah, I do like their vocal stylings. I will probably see them this weekend at RavenCon.
Yeah, and just to be clear, this album is all like that.
It's all like that because this is the album that is like that.
Yeah, the first album was not. So,
But Busted is definitely sea shanties and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So musical stylings, you know, good quality music. I could see it is very Ren Faire-y to me. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to be in the mood. Similar to me for then Curtis Eller, that you would have to be in the mood for. I would have to be in the mood for him, too. I wouldn't see myself popping.
Yeah, my problem is, like I said, for 15 years, this is what I heard day after day after day. And
I could see that.
It's not like now it's like, oh, I go to the Ren Faire and I haven't seen them all year and this is awesome. But it was just like a daily, oh, God, they're practicing.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah.
And you lived on site, so yeah, you couldn't get away from it.
You couldn't get away from the shanties and the ukuleles. And
So we ran into the Misbehavin' Maidens at Dragon Con, although I've seen them other places, but they are delightful to talk to.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people. And the fact that this particular album wasn't our favorite.
I think I would like them more if I put them, their discography on shuffle.
Yes.
Just to break up because I did find this just a bit monotonous and not in a prudish way, but it was like the Mario Kart song or the Kart song where I was like, oh my gosh, they're not talking about, yes, they are. Never mind. They're talking about sex. You know? Yeah.
Like, the vibrating machine, just to give you a hint. But yeah. And I think the way that they had to do this was to put all the stuff that the parents wouldn't want the kids to have on one album and all the rest on the other. And I think
that way they can, you know, when they're selling stuff at a con, it's a lot easier to say you don't want to play this one for your kids.
Yeah. So I'm sure it was a marketing decision.
Yeah.
And the concert would be more a mixture of the two.
You'll have to check it out, Carol. Let us know.
Yeah, I will let you know. And like I said, I don't dislike them. This just isn't. This has fallen off my style of music just because of my life. So there's not a whole lot of Ren Faire music that sits on my shelf anymore.
So would you buy it, Starnslord?
No, no. I like it, but I wouldn't buy it. I wasn't like blown away by it. Excuse them. Yeah.
I did buy a couple of songs. I didn't buy the entire album.
What song did you buy?
I bought the 1996 song. And then just because I found it witty, I bought the ABC song. Mm-hmm. But I didn't buy the whole album because it was just like, okay, this is starting to get a bit redundant.
Yeah.
I think that might be a good point, too. It's, you know, I think most of us on the podcast were of a certain age where albums were a thing, and now those are gone.
Yeah.
It's all singles. Right. And it's like people just release like a single at a time, and you're like, oh, hit song. They might not ever have anything. It's like a true one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
They might not ever do anything. Or yeah, so it's presented differently now.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
I may purchase like some more of their songs and just shuffle them rather than listen to one big
for those of you not on the visual podcast. She is doing hand motions like jazz hands back and forth in a shuffling manner. Yeah. So Chris,
no, I'll you know, if I want dirty comedy music, I'll listen to Steel Panther.
Nice,
because they're awesome.
Well, there you go.
Well, we know that Tiffany bought it several copies.
She's handing them out for Christmas presents.
Sure.
Oh, now you've given her an idea.
I would love to buy this for my 65-year-old aunt. No, that's my answer.
So I'm hearing maybe.
Okay. Yes. And for any Misbehaving Maidens fans out there, we don't dislike them. They're really wonderful people.
This particular album, not our choice.
No.
So.
I'll be honest too. I listened. I couldn't sleep. I woke up early this morning. I was listening to stuff like at 3:45. So I was listening to both of these albums back to back, very very early, which is a weird time to listen to music anyway. But I was like kind of humming along, and I was like, "Oh, I'm humming along to the ABCs. This is cool."
Yeah. So, we did buy the album just because we saw them. So, cool. Yeah.
You guys are so generous. Such nice people.
I
will say, Joey, I actually, when I was listening to it, thought that you would actually really like it. Mm. Just because, again, I didn't connect it to like Renaissance music, but I thought of it kind of like camp songy. And I was like, I know Joey's really into that.
Get a geeker.
So I'm like, she's probably going to love this.
Let me clarify. I'm really into singing camp songs around Carol because it annoys
it
her.
Me crazy. Now you're just going to make her sing the ABCs on the drives up to Con. And
yes. More interesting.
The littlest worm. Oh, anyway.
No. I'm working on an ejector seat for Bixie so I can just push a button.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now that Star and Sword has a new larger vehicle, I was going to propose we bring that so that you can't control the stuff.
Yeah, then I can't control
anything. I know. You should see the look of horror on Carol's face. She's like, the car's the one thing I can control in my life.
Aww.
And you drive like an old lady. So Carol and I have different driving styles. Evidently, there's a coworker of mine who passes me every day at work. He's like, it's always so amazing how you stay under the speed limit. I'm like, it's always so amazing that you frequently admit that you don't. So
anyway. Carol drives it like she stole it. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
she's like, she's on the repo list.
She's like, I can get to Raleigh in an hour. Here we go.
Challenge accepted.
Gotta shave off seconds.
That's
every
right.
Trip.
That's right.
It's a stupid Waze thing. It's like you will arrive at 6:45. Oh no, I won't. That, oh no, that's going down.
That's right. That is a challenge.
She's not.
Oh
kidding.
Yeah.
Watch. I shaved a minute.
Yeah. Then she gets pissed. She's like, look. We had 3 minutes get added back.
Yep.
Stupid. Yeah, stupid kids traffic. On a school bus.
Charlotte, New Jersey, 12 hours. I can do it in 11:30.
Right.
When I was a kid in high school in Ohio, Michigan wasn't too far, but we'd like sometimes go up to Detroit. But the whole thing was I borrowed my dad's Fuzzbuster, and it was very, you know. But we would at night.
For
we would,
those in the audience who doesn't know what a Fuzzbuster is,
it was a radar detector. It was a feature that's now just kind of built into ways where people say, "Hey, there's a fucking cop up here. Be careful!" But
there's a cop in 0.2 miles.
But we would speed, and we had alcohol, which we weren't supposed to have, and we would turn the lights off on the highway just for it because we thought, "Oh, they won't be able to see us, and we'll be past them before the." And like I think we got that from Cannonball Run, which was not a good thing to base your strategy on.
Base your driving on Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. And Tom Dowies. Oh my gosh. God rest his soul. Burt Reynolds. Yeah. But yeah, so
both
it was.
Of them, actually.
Well, we realized driving very fast, you can't see anything. And sometimes we go off the road and in people's yards. And so we'd be like, this is not a good idea. We do it occasionally, but yeah. I don't know why I brought that up. That's incriminating. I'm going to cut that shit out. Edit? No. It's
if
all
only
live.
We weren't lazy and didn't edit any of this stuff out.
Aw.
Well, listen, Chris. thank you so much for coming in and out with us.
Thank you for listening to the two albums.
Oh, yeah, I did. I actually did. And no, and it's good. 50-50, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And definitely, you know, the biggest thing is that we are four of the most okayest geeks. We don't always say we're the experts on anything.
No.
Oh, no.
So you can always listen and disagree with us.
Yes.
You can do that by sending us an email at heyyou@guardiansofthegeekery.com or just go on our Facebook page, Guardians of the Geekery, and say you were wrong.
Yeah.
If you have a band that you'd like us to listen to and see if Tiffany likes, Mikey, he likes it. You can actually just submit that over to heyyou@guardiansofthegeekery.com as well. And make sure you go to shakescar.org.
That's right.
Check out their awesome one-day-only event on October 27th. There will be exploding kids' heads. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you want to know more, go back to the previous. And
it's a family show.
Yeah, so, you know, you can have... female explosions, and you can have head explosions. It's all up to you.
Wow. Okay.
There we go. We got to. I don't want to lose our explicit rating. Come on now. All right. So on that note, why don't we say goodnight, Gracie?
Goodnight, Gracie.
So far.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.